20, verse 4. Read the accord to their own heart and fulfill all their counsel. Please finish reading verse 20, chapter 20, when you have a chance. We'll have opening prayer now, followed by the praise team. I like to pray first, followed by the praise team. Okay. Thank you.
Father, we just thank you for this day. We glorify your name, Lord. We just thank you that you that you love us, Lord God, and that today's service will be blessed. And we just thank you for the Holy Spirit. We welcome your presence in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Tammy. Now, a praise.
In your presence, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. You surround us with your favor, O Lord. The earth is full of your goodness. The earth is filled with your love. In your presence, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. You surround us with your favor, O Lord. The earth is full of your goodness. The earth is filled with your love. Exceedingly, abundantly, far above all things you can ever ask a thing. Exceedingly, abundantly, you give us all things to enjoy. Such joy, such unspeakable joy, such a peace, an everlasting peace, such love. A pure and holy love, Spirit, have your way in me. And there's a peace that floods my soul when the Spirit of the Lord is in control. And there's a joy no bounds can hold when the Spirit blows a fresh wind through my soul. Holy Spirit, blow through me. Touch my heart and there will be such joy, such unspeakable joy, such a peace, an everlasting peace, such love, a pure and holy love. Spirit, have your way in me. Spirit, have your way in me. Spirit, have your way in me.
I leave, ladies and gentlemen.
Lifting up the name of Jesus, and you hear the music playing, and you see the people praising. Try to forget about your worries, let your troubles fall behind you. Don't you wait another minute, just get up and on your feet and get to dancing, singing, jumping, leaping, get shouting, make it loud and make it glorious. So rejoicing, crazy. Lifting, raising, get it shouting, make it loud and make his praise glorious. When you come into his presence, lifting up the name of Jesus, and you hear the music playing, and you see the people praising, just forget about your worries, let your troubles fall behind you. Don't you wait another minute, just get up and on your feet and get to dancing, singing, jumping, leaping, get you shouting, make it loud and make it glorious. So rejoicing, praising, lifting, raising, get you shouting, make it loud and make it spread, get you dancing, singing. Thank you. blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne and worship you. Be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne and worship you. And be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth, sealed to the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your majesty's work, sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne and worship you. Will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth, sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless worth, sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne and worship you. Will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days, O Ancient of Days, O Ancient of Jesus, Jesus. glorified in the earth, and be glorified in this temple of mine, Jesus, Jesus, be thou glorified. Worship the Lord, 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 worship the Lord. Worship the Lord, worship the Lord, worship the Lord, worship the Lord, and worship the Lord in the heavens, and worship the Lord in the worship the Lord in this temple of mine, Jesus, Jesus, be thou glorified, Jesus, Jesus, be thou glorified. The train of his robe fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole train of his robe fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth is with his glory. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord.
Probably true if the pastors are here, But you know, sometimes you get up and you think you have your message all straight. You think you got it all together. But then you get up here and you look at your notes and Lord says, not today. It has to be ready to be changed at a twinkling of the eye. Amen. You know, when I was, just before I became pastor, many years before, well, not that many years, but many years before, the Lord has changed the message when I was ready to, thought I was all prepared. You know, young minister, ready to fire up what the Lord has given me to say. Then he changed it. But he always have a purpose when he changes things. It's always at the end. I found out later, after the change, that somebody was blessed. You know, and today is no different. I don't have a word to preach to y'all today. What a happy pad I can't give. And that's because somebody's going to be blessed today.
Amen, amen, amen.
And I'm not going to give the word. But somebody else will give the word this morning. Deacon Prinnell.
Hallelujah.
Maybe y'all stand. You want to, you don't have any, you so fancy, man.
Mic's still on.
I know the mic's still on. You still fancy. Hey, put this on your waist where you want that. Now.
Give me right on.
Right, just put it in your pocket. Tail hanging.
Ooh.
Not your. Just let me look at what you get.
No,
double down. Okay. Yeah, it might take. We good.
Praise the Lord.
I almost changed my mind.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me. Let us just applaud Jesus one more time, please.
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, for us to worship you corporately. For us to gather together, Lord, in fellowship, on one accord and one spirit, Father. Lord, we thank you for this day that you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in, Lord. We thank you for this special occasion that you have provided, Lord, but it's all about you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for where you have brought us from and where you're bringing us to and what you're bringing us through, Lord, just to glorify yourself, Lord, as you rightly deserve. Lord, bless your people this morning. Touch the hearts and mind of everyone in the midst, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, here I am as your currency. Spend me as you desire, Lord, that the receipt of your glory may be the revealing. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. You may be seated in his presence. I don't know if I'm the only one here like myself. But I didn't know too much about the human anatomy. Today's message is the heart of a servant. And when I was getting this message from the Lord, he always paralleled the natural and the spirit. And so the components of a servant's heart is a lot like the natural heart. I didn't know the natural heart, though it's simple. It's about the size of a man's fist. I didn't know it had four chambers. I didn't know about the ventricles and all the details that comprise the natural heart. And so it is with a servant's heart. So today, I want to delve into the components of a servant's heart. Amen. Starting with the first chamber of a servant's heart. Now, of course, we know that everything pertaining to the word of God is modeled after the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. And that's Jesus Christ. So we're going to start with Mark 10. Verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So every component of a servant's heart that I will be delving into, of course, Jesus models perfectly. So starting with the first chamber. The first chamber of a servant's heart is humility. The component of humility is what gives the servant the ability not to think less of himself, but to value his position less in order to lift up more. So we're going to go to Philippians 2, verses 3 through 7. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant. We sometimes forget as believers, as we begin to fellowship with God and we go through the recreational things of service and et cetera, we forget all that Jesus did when he left glory. Hallelujah. Pre-existing with the Father to clothe himself with dust like you and I. This is the greatest form of humility because Jesus already knew he was the Son of God. He knew his position. He knew who he was. But he emptied himself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He emptied himself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Forgetting about what he had. Hallelujah. To give us what we now have. Thank you, Jesus. The next correlation of that example I want to give is in the book of John. John 13. Because a lot of us as believers, we look at being a follower of God or being a disciple of Christ as a form of entitlement. So we disregard humility. We disregard our ability and the call to serve. But not so with the heart of a servant. So this is the example of what Jesus in many forms did in his example of humility. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking the towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. I guarantee you, if I ask anybody in here, how many of y'all wash everybody in here's feet? Ain't too many of us raising our hands. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. This in Jerusalem with the sandals and the feet. Y'all understand. But the heart of a servant. With his humility. Thank you, Jesus. Next scripture I want to give to highlight this point as well is in 1 Peter 5:5. Aunt Lou, you're supposed to have my back. First Peter 5:5. Likewise, you who are younger, Be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. One thing about the component of humility in the heart of a servant, it protects you from the spirit of pride. The next element of a human, the heart of a servant I want to delve into is the chamber of sacrifice or giving. And that begins in Romans 12:1, which we ourselves understand we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, which is our service, our spiritual worship to our Father. So as we lay ourselves as a living sacrifice unto him, we give him permission to do what he will with us as a servant to whatever extent that he desires. So Romans 15, verses 1 through 3. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. That's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. Jesus, again, perfecting what the heart of a servant is, the component of sacrifice. Hallelujah. Yes. The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A servant, the heart of a servant in a component of sacrifice, has no problem giving. They have no problem sacrificing their time. They have no problem sacrificing their energy. They have no problem sacrificing their resources. They have no problem sacrificing their strength for the sake of the weak. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 13:12. Thank you, Lord. Hello, you still don't got my back? Praise the Lord. Hebrews 13:12. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Amen. 2 Samuel 24:18-25. Sorry, y'all. I believe in Bible thumping. I believe we came here for the word. Amen. 2 Samuel 24:18-25. And again, this is just to highlight the chamber of sacrifice in the heart of a servant. Amen. And Gad came that day to David and said to him, go up, raise an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arnar the Jebusite. So David went up at Gad's word and as the Lord commanded, and when Arnar looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arnar faced the ground, and Arnar said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? David said, to buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be averted from the people. Then Arnar said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering and the threshing sledges and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. All this, O king, Arnar gives to the king. And Arnar said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. But the king said to him, no, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. David understood the element of sacrifice as a servant of God. So in the component, hallelujah, of a heart of a servant, we understand that it costs us something. It costs us something. And we're not looking for free. As a servant, we're willing to pay whatever price we have to pay, if that is with our time, if that is with our resources, if that is with our ear to somebody who's going through something. Amen. The component of a servant of God understand that. Amen. The heart of a servant had that in the chamber of their heart. Amen. Chamber number three, obedience. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 21, 28 through 31. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir," but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. A servant honors God not only with their lips, but in their hearts. So a servant don't just say, "I will do." A servant does. The element of obedience, thank you, Jesus, is one of the greatest components of a servant because they don't have a problem receiving orders. They yield. Servants don't have a problem yielding. They don't have a problem obeying. I got to say it, the Holy Spirit gave it to me. There's a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but they're not obedient. And the Lord said, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." And though we just went over the component of sacrifice, he said obedience is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15, 22, just to highlight it. "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." Any instance that God was speaking to his people, and still to this day, when he was speaking to his people and giving them a commandment, ultimately we're all supposed to be servants. But when he gave them a commandment to do something, it was to cultivate the fruit of obedience. Because that's the component of a heart of a servant. So if you look at Abraham as an example, though he commanded Abraham to offer up Isaac, he was looking at the obedience of Abraham. And Abraham, by his act of obedience, hallelujah, he's now called a friend of God. So that component of obedience in the heart of a servant, hallelujah, is another thing that generates a chamber. And that's also Philippians 2:8. Going back to Philippians. Thank you, Jesus. 2:8. "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." The heart of a servant has the heart of a servant has undaunting loyalty. So obstacles, when it comes to a commandment that God gave a servant, the obedience going to trump the fear of whatever it is that's coming against that servant. Amen. I don't know if it's too many of us here. Probably not, because the Lord took me on a journey. But that's familiar with the royal guard. Anybody know about the royal guard? The guard like the queen of... Yeah. But the royal guard, they are so compliant and so obedient to their orders that they even are trained to faint a certain way. If they stand up for 6 hours at a time, they are trained that they got to faint falling forward. That's an order. So they can't control. They have to learn to control it out of obedience to their master. Now, their reward is just a paycheck. It's already understood. Chamber number four of a servant's heart. Sincerity. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. A servant is not a people pleaser. Amen. I'm sure everybody here with the workplace, but y'all ever see, y'all know those workers who they chilling, and then they see the manager in the building or somebody in the building, they start acting like they're doing something. A servant is not so. Because in a component of his heart, there lies sincerity. And with that sincerity, he's doing it whether his master's watching or not. And also, with the people-pleasing dynamic, people carry that same mentality into the kingdom. So we do the people-pleasing thing in the church setting. We think because Jesus ain't here physically, Lord, though your presence is tangible, we think because he ain't here physically, he don't see me. So you ain't got to do what the master say do. You're going to do it when you think he's coming. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Amen. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. That's another element to the component of sincerity in the heart of a servant. They don't need praise. Amen. A servant is sincere in their service, so when they give, they don't have to say, hey, I gave XYZ. Hey, do you know yesterday I fed 3 homeless people? I helped the old lady cross the street. The sincerity of a servant, hallelujah, they do it out of the sincerity of their heart in regards to their service. The only thing you'll hear a servant brag about is Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practice steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. That's the only thing you will hear a servant boasting about. They know their master. A servant boasts, hallelujah, that they know their master. They're not boasting about what they do, what they've done. They're boasting about who they know. Praise the Lord. The next chamber is love. which ties all the rest of them together. Matthew 6 and 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The treasure of the servant heart is his master's desires being fulfilled.
Amen. Amen.
So his heart, hallelujah, is in the delight of his master. Psalm 40 and 8. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. The servant love for his master and seeing his master delighted even to the point of death on the cross.
Amen.
Even to the point of suffering persecution. Even to the point of being rejected. My Father, if this is your delight, then I'm pleased. They talking about me, but my Father, if this is your delight, then I'm pleased. If I gotta take 3 hours and stay here praying, my Father, this is your delight, then I'm pleased. John 14, 15. Thank you, Jesus. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. When you love your master, when you genuinely had a heart of a servant, as we just read, you delight to obey his commandments. You delight to obey his commandments. So a lot of people who you hear say, I love God, but his commandments are burdensome. They don't want to fellowship with God. They don't want to fellowship with his people. Oh, Christians, I'm spiritual. I'm not religious. But the heart of a servant delights in the commands. So ultimately, with all those components and chambers of the heart of a servant, it's what generate the wiring of the heart of a servant, which leads us to Mark 9:35. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and a servant of all. A servant doesn't care about a title.
Amen.
To call a servant doesn't bother a servant. So there's a lot of people in the body of Christ who crave title, not knowing that Jesus already declared your responsibility, because to whom much is given, much is required.
Amen.
And with all the extra titles that you may have, Jesus just said, that means you're going to have that many more people that you got to serve now. Luke 22. Luke 22:24-7. A dispute arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at the table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus made the table. He made the chairs. He made it all. And he came to serve. And so the heart of a servant is so simple, yet so complex. Luke 17:10. So after all those great things we just said about the heart of a servant and what make them so magnificent, this is the statement of a mature, complete servant. After all those things that were just said, most people would be like, oh, thank you, you know, looking through nails and they should, they toot their own horn, so to speak. Not so with the heart of a servant. Luke 17:10. So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. The servant ain't got his hand on someone's eye with mindset. The why-in of a servant is so complete in serving. He said, I just did my duty. That's all I came for. I just came to do my duty. That's it. Anything else I receive on that is extra. Jesus is so amazing because, of course, we know he's the author and perfecter of our faith. And so the heart of a servant, Jesus perfected that. Jesus is the perfection of that. But as the Lord had me prepare this message, there is a servant in our midst that reflects the same. Servant of God, would you mind standing? Servant of God, the Lord is pleased with you. He's extremely pleased with your service. And no, we applaud you physically. Heaven is applauding you as well. You do so much. And everything we just named on this list, your humility, your sacrifice, your obedience, your sincerity, your love is complete in your service. Thank you. Thank you. On behalf of God's Miracle Church, let us. Y'all will never hear this man brag, but if you ask him anything, his answer will always be, I love the Lord. I just love the Lord. You can try to praise, hey, you built that fence. Yeah, I built that fence. I just love the Lord. So God bless you. We're grateful to have you in our midst. And the Lord is pleased with you. That's all I keep hearing him say. He is pleased with your service. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, if there's anyone in our midst who haven't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and you would like this same. Yes, see, after. Okay, sorry, forgive me. We got another special occasion for the special occasion. Introducing Carlin. I'll turn this off.
You hear my cry, my deepest pain. You listen patiently as long as it takes. And you whisper truth over the lies, the words that bring me back to life. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. You hold me in your arms until my storm is calm. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. You are the strength when I am weak, the only one who leads my soul to perfect peace. And I will sing my way through the night, the words that bring me back to life. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. You hold me in your arms until my storm is calm. And everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Your love will be my song till all my fears are gone. And everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. And I believe, oh, I believe, you're working all things for my good. You're working all things for my good. And I believe, yeah. Yes, I believe you're working all things for my good. You're working all things for my
Praise the Lord. This is a beautiful day, and it's designed to honor a beautiful person. It's truly a brother of mine. I give him a hard time, and these words that God gave me, I sat down and wanted to know what God wanted to say to him. And I was like, God, I know this is you, because certainly it's not me. So... Yeah, we do. We do. We've always had issues, but it's all good. Praise God. And like I said, these words came straight from the heart of God. And I kept writing and writing, and I was like, how much more? We still talking about him? you know, so praise God. When God's Miracle Church building was birthed in my heart, so were the individuals that I predestined to take responsibility for every part of its operation. Many were called, answered the call, but made the decision to step back because of the level of commitment to me that was involved. Many were called, answered the call, and continued to remain faithful and available to serve me at my every beck and call. Today, I want to acknowledge one who was called, answered my call, and never backed up or looked back. Even in the times of grave sickness, pain, and disease, you showed up willing to do what was needed. Most of the time, you showed up alone. You never made an excuse when the grass needed to be cut, trees needed to be trimmed, or the property needed to be mulched. An excuse was never made when it was time to meet the architect, the builders, or even the inspectors. You always picked up the slack when there wasn't enough money to pay enormous bills, still always showing the payee as God's Miracle Church. Very few people know the extent of your involvement in the building and maintenance of my church. Even in the midst of making time to meet every church obligation, you continue to report to your workplace. Immediately upon leading your job, you fulfill the responsibilities and the tasks that were waiting at the church. I saw you when you put aside your personal needs, obligations, or even your hobbies to meet the needs of your elderly neighbors and that of your family property, cutting the grass, making repairs, and providing necessities. You not only obligated yourself to the needs of your family and neighbors, but also to the needs of your church family, your co-workers, and your friends, always putting yourself last. When you were able to, you always made yourself available. I saw you open up your home to those who needed a roof over their heads. I saw you when you made large purchases for those in need, supplementing the finances of those short of funds for car repairs, gas, and food. Many times you purchased the parts, made the car repairs yourself, asking for nothing in return. When incidentals or supplies of any type were needed to complete a job or to enhance the church, you didn't hand the church a bill or receipt. As usual, you dug into your own pockets. I heard you when you acknowledged asking me for wisdom to do what was needed, and because of your sincerity and my need of your time, I granted that gift to you. Amen. There is so much more that I could say, as your commitment and dedication to others has extended far beyond what others will ever know. My son, because of your obedience and love and commitment to me, there are blessings in store for you that even in your wildest imagination, you could never comprehend. You didn't back up when the nerve damage in your hands and feet was so bad that you could hardly walk or function without pain. You pressed through. You didn't back up when you were receiving treatment for cancer hours on end. You didn't back up when Sunday mornings rolled around and you were in pain that could be considered as a valid reason to stay home. You didn't back up when you were being scorned for doing what was best for my body. You didn't hold a grudge or harbor unforgiveness when people didn't understand your actions. You kept your eyes and mind on me, which enabled you to remain in peace, continuing to show love. Yes, I was watching as you mentored and counseled many young men that had lost their way. You nurtured them with compassion and love, giving them hope and assistance. Man looks and examines, judges and criticizes based on what they perceive looking outwardly. But I, God, created you. I groomed you, led and instructed you that my purposes for you might be fulfilled. I know your heart, yea, sometimes undervalued, underappreciated, taken for granted, but I also knew that you wouldn't buckle under the naysayers. Why? Because I made you like flint. I made you like flint. You love me, you really love me, and you know that I love you too. Isaiah 50:7 says, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. Amen. really loves you because I tell you, you know, when I kind of started, he said, get back to that paper. I go in and sit down for a long time, get back to that paper. Yesterday I was still finishing, get back to that paper. I'm like, now this is enough here. But God truly loves you and he knows you love him, and that's all you ever says, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And we know that you're not taking it back. We love you too. I appreciate you so much. I give you a hard time, but that comes with the it comes with who I am. Oh, we ain't going to all of that.
Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. At this time, Oh, wow. Saints, this is the byproduct of what surrender to Jesus can do. Not too many people, if any, know the extent of this man's testimony. But all you see today upon him is the marks of a servant, the heart of a servant. So if there's anybody here who have yet to surrender their lives wholeheartedly to Jesus, to start that journey to have a heart of a servant, you want to be rectified to God that he give you a new heart. For you to have the heart of a servant.
Amen.
The altar is open. If all is family and there's just simply anybody that's here that needs prayer for whatever reason, the altar is open.